Welcome to installment 28 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments, positive commandment 15, to write a mezuzah and place it on one's door, and positive commandment 18, for each individual to write a Torah scroll for themselves. Positive commandment 15 is mentioned several times in the Torah. Uchsavtam al mezuzeis beisecha uvisharecha. You shall write them for him upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This abbreviated cryptic statement of the Chumash does not mean to say that we actually write on the doorpost. Rather, the oral tradition, which was also given at Mount Sinai, reveals to us that we are required to write upon a piece of parchment those two paragraphs of the Shema, the first two paragraphs which we say in Shema, write them upon a parchment in a certain fashion, roll it up in a certain fashion, and attach it to the doorpost in a certain place. There are many details involved in writing a mezuzah, many of which apply also to the tefillin and also a Torah scroll. Because of the many details involved, one should buy a mezuzah only from a reputable dealer or a reputable scribe. It must be written on klaf, parchment, which has been prepared for the writing of a mezuzah, and this parchment must come from the skin of an animal. Should it be written on paper, the mezuzah is invalid. It is common practice, in order to speed up the handwriting process of the mezuzah, to smear a whitish material to smooth out the surface and make the writing faster. In this way, the sofer, the scribe, can write more mezuzahs more quickly. This also is a problem since the letters are often subject to cracking. One must make lines known as shirtut in the mezuzah in order to ensure that the writing is straight, neat, and beautiful as the mezuzah should be. All of the letters must be perfectly shaped. Should there be a missing letter, should two letters be touching, or even should there be a crack in one letter of the mezuzah in the wrong place, this could invalidate the entire mezuzah. So too, it must be attached to the door in the proper place. It should be, first of all, in the top third of the doorway, and should be placed in the bottom part of the top third. Therefore, to make the calculation simple, should we have a doorway which is 6 feet high, the top 2 feet would be the upper third of this doorway, and it should be placed so that the bottom of the mezuzah is in the bottom part of this 2-foot area. In other words, just over 4 feet from the bottom of the doorway. So too, if the width of the doorpost, the hollow space where the door is, should be wider than a hand breadth, it should be placed in the hand breadth, the tefach, which is closest to the outside, in order that the room inside, as well as the space of the door, should be covered by the mezuzah. Not only the front door to a house must have a mezuzah affixed, but also any room in which things are stored or used. This would include also an office or a store in which one owns certain merchandise. A mezuzah should be placed in such areas also. This would obviously include also a garage. Since the moisture in the air varies from time to time, and also the heat can change in different time periods, the mezuzah is subject to certain stresses, and it is very common that certain letters should either disintegrate or develop cracks. It is therefore extremely important that the mezuzahs should be checked. According to the strict letter of the law, the minimum is twice in a 7-year period, or every 3.5 years. However, it is proper to inspect the mezuzah even more often in order to ensure that the mezuzah is still proper and still valid. Should one move from one's dwelling, and a Jewish person will be moving in, or one is still paying rent and is still officially in charge of the house, one should not remove the mezuzahs, but rather leave them there until the new tenant arrives. Only then should the new tenant take down these mezuzahs and put up their own mezuzahs. Should any problems develop, a rav of valid legal authority should be consulted. Although our primary intention in doing the mitzvahs is to fulfill the will of God, nevertheless many reasons are given for the various mitzvahs. The Chinuch explains that the mezuzah on a house functions as a sign of God's oneness, to remind the person when he leaves the house and enters the house, or going from one room to another, that God's providence permeates the world, and that he runs the world and has the power to do things as he wishes. This is also stressed in the numerical value of the word mezuzah, which comes to Hashem's name, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, indicating that he is master over his universe. In addition, our sages explain that the mezuzah has protective value. As the Talmud tells us that Rabbi Hanina Misura explained why it is we must put the mezuzah in the outer part of a doorway. That since it has protective value, that we should protect not only the house inside, but even the doorway to the outer part of the doorway. Therefore we put the mezuzah as far to the outside as possible. Tosfos in the Talmud goes even further and explains that the mezuzah is l'shimur avid. It is made, it is put up for the sake of protection. And the Bach explains in his commentary on the Tor that this is not only a reward. The reward for keeping the mitzvah of mezuzah is explicitly indicated in the Chumash, that it lengthens one's life. However, this is even in addition to merely the reward. We have many rewards written in the Torah for mitzvahs. If one honors one's mother and father, for example, he is rewarded with a good life. Over here by mezuzah, it's not only a secondary reward. Here the reward is part of the mitzvah itself, part of the function of the mezuzah. Miguf ha-mitzvah atzma, says the Bach. Part of the mitzvah of mezuzah itself is its protective value. Therefore, should one do another mitzvah simply for the sake of the reward, he would be called lei lishma. He is doing it for an ulterior motive. If one should put up a mezuzah for the sake of protection, however, this is not called lei lishma. A person is still doing it for the mitzvah, since the protection is part of the mitzvah itself. Certainly it is ideal that one should primarily do it for the sake of fulfilling the commandment. However, should one not do it in such a way, it does not mean they are not properly performing the commandment of putting a mezuzah on the door. Positive commandment number 18 is to write a Torah scroll. As the Rambam starts in Sefer HaMitzvahs, it is a requirement on every male. The Achreinim, such as the Shagas Arya, discuss whether women are obligated in this commandment as well. Certainly, they get credit for the commandment should they do so and participate in the writing of a Torah scroll. The Rambam says that this derives from the statement in the Torah regarding the song of Hazinu towards the end of the Chumash, Kisvu lachem es ashira hazeis. You should write down this song. Our sages explain that one is forbidden from just writing a portion of the Torah. One must write it in the context of the entire Torah. Therefore, the commandment is to write the whole thing. To write it personally, says the Rambam, is the preferable way of doing the mitzvah. And one that does so, it is as if he has received the Torah himself at Mount Sinai. Should he be unable to, or as the commentaries explain, someone else could write it more beautifully, he should either buy a Torah scroll or commission someone to write it for him. The Rambam quotes the tractate Sanhedrin to prove that this is a commandment. As Rava says that it is a commandment to write a Torah scroll. Abaye asks him, how can you say that? Our sages say, the previous sages, that the king must write a Torah scroll, and it is not good enough to inherit one. We see this that only a king has the commandment, but not someone else. The Talmud answers him there that the king has two commandments. One is the commandment just like every Jew to write a Torah scroll, which is our commandment. And the king has a separate commandment that he must write a second Sefer Torah, as we will discuss in tomorrow's portion. The details of how to write the Sefer Torah and so on are discussed in the Tractate Shabbos, the beginning of Baba Basra, Sanhedrin, and the third chapter of Menachos, which also discusses the commandment of mezuzah. Why is it that we do not see people striving to write Sifrei Torah for themselves if it is a biblical commandment? The Rosh explains, and the law is decided in his favor in the code of Jewish law, that the commandment to write a Sefer Torah applied in those days when there was no other way to learn. This was the only way to study, since the oral Torah was not written down. However, today, since the oral Torah may be written down, the commandment is fulfilled by writing other sorts of books as well as purchasing these books which have been printed in order to study from them, since the primary reason for the commandment is to study. Therefore, the commandment today can be fulfilled in such a manner, and which has also been picked out as one of the 10 mitzvah campaigns to fill one's house with holy books. Nevertheless, the vast majority of legal commentaries still explain that the Rosh did not come to exclude the commandment of writing the Torah scroll in its simple sense, that that is also a commandment. Why do we not see people that are so careful to perform every mitzvah in the best possible way that they do not try to write a Torah scroll immediately following the bar mitzvah? The Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita has explained that when one commissions a sofer, a scribe, to write a Torah for a synagogue, one is implicitly asking him to fulfill this mitzvah for the entire congregation. And it is as if every member of the congregation has asked the sofer to do so. And then when the scroll is written, and in particular when one gets called to the Torah for an aliyah, it is as if the Torah has been written for him personally, and he has a share in it. This is only a small point of the Rebbe's explanation, which he substantiates with statements of the Gemara and the Rishenim and Achreinim to show that this is halachically true. This is part of the campaign to write Sifrei Torah, Torah scrolls, for the entire Jewish people, where each individual sponsors one letter of the Torah, thereby fulfilling, in conjunction with the other people, fulfilling the commandment to write a Sefer Torah. This is in addition to the primary goal, which is to unite the Jewish people in a spiritual sense. Since each Jew corresponds to one letter of the Torah, through uniting everyone in the Torah, and if even one letter is missing, the Torah is invalid. Therefore, we see the importance of every single Jew, and we are all united, all in one Sefer Torah, by purchasing this one letter. The story is told of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, who appointed an emissary to visit a certain Jew. Upon trying to meet the Jew in the synagogue, the emissary was informed that this Jew was not really found in the synagogue, and it became obvious to him that he was not observant in Torah and mitzvahs. Eventually he met this Jew and spoke with him, and then went to leave. The Jew assumed he was coming for money, and when he said he was not sent for money, he was just sent to visit, the Jew could not understand. Somebody explained to him that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, meaning the previous Rebbe, looked at every Jew like a Torah scroll. And just like in a Torah scroll, a letter can sometimes be faded or cracked or missing, so too, each Jew is a Torah, and perhaps a mitzvah is missing here and there. And therefore, he must send people to check it. And this is perhaps why this emissary had been sent. This answer was told to the previous Rebbe by the emissary when he returned. And he saw the Rebbe was unhappy with this explanation. When he asked why, the previous Rebbe said that certainly every Jew is like a Torah, but there's one difference. In a Torah scroll, we have the parchment, and the ink is a separate part, and the ink can sometimes become smudged or even disappear. By a Jew, however, the letters are like they're carved out of stone, and the letters, meaning the mitzvahs and the connection to Torah, are not a separate thing from the Jew, they are part of the Jew. What happens? The letters are always intact, but sometimes are covered with dust or dirt. And what we must do is not to rewrite the letter or correct a crack. The letters are always intact by a Jew. Perhaps sometimes they can be covered over with dirt or dust. And we must simply take away this dust and reveal this which is intrinsically there, this which is always intact, the complete letters of their own Torah scroll, which is within their soul. The Ben Ish Chai explains that this commandment to write a Torah scroll is written at the very, very end of the Chumash. This is the last commandment to be written. And he ties this in with the end of the Golus of our exile. And that the complete performance of this commandment of writing a Torah scroll is connected with the conclusion of our exile and the arrival of Mashiach, and may this come true, b'mheira v'yomeinu amen, speedily in our days.